When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody. It's Reality Gaze, and it's a collab. A collab.
We're here.
We really got to fix that. We got to fix that drum. This is, y'all, we're so excited to have, this is our kind of first Below Deck collab in a way, but we're so excited to have Dylan and Patrick here from another Below Deck podcast. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for having me.
And don't forget Bad TV. That's our other podcast.
And Bad TV, sorry.
And Bad TV. Bad TV.
Don't be so aggressive with the plugging right at the top.
Oh, sorry.
Y'all fight like an old married couple. Jesus. Even though you both identify as straight, which is always a good foursome for us. Except for I don't want to picture Maddie in there. So I'm going to consider it a threesome.
Well, I think that's ridiculous. I think Maddie should be there.
It won't work if he's there.
I don't think Jake needs to be there, and you know, I can definitely do a DP, so we're fine.
He needs to bring us snacks and drinks after.
It's very funny.
Now that
I'm single again, and she's on prep, and she's going to start slutting it up again. Jake's horrified because he never wanted to hear about my sex life, and now he doesn't know what's going to happen.
I would rather never picture you sexual. So,
well, I'm married, so we don't have sex.
Yeah,
perfect. Well, if you want to remedy that. That's great. Just call
I'm
me.
Married, but younger, so we kind of have sex. Yeah,
we didn't know that. Y'all thought we lived in Texas. I thought y'all lived where straight people live. I don't know. But apparently we all live in Los Angeles.
Colorado or something. Straight people live in Colorado.
Dubuque.
Montana. Hey, look, we might be able to make that gangbang happen.
There we go.
I'm going to need to do some, I don't know. I'm very self-conscious. So I don't know. Let's get to know each other a little bit better.
I like that idea.
Just a little bit of flirting.
Let's have coffee.
Do you get first off, are you happy that you named it another Below Deck podcast, or does it bother you now? Because we had some of our listeners saying, wait, what's the show? And we're like, another below, but what's the
it's
show? And we're
like, oh, the worst Abbott and Costello.
Yeah. So we started with The Bachelor, and we called it another Bachelor podcast because it's a rather, as they would say in the biz, a saturated market.
It's a crowded field, yeah.
So when we did when we started a Below Deck podcast, we thought that we would have this brilliant business synergy and call it another Below Deck podcast. But that's the name of the show. I think we're the only two people covering it. We're the only two podcasts covering it. So, so there's you guys, and then there's ours, another Below Deck podcast.
Does Crappens not do Below Deck? I thought they did.
They do. That Crappens does. And
I think they're back doing it. They stopped doing it for a couple years, I think. We're friendly with those guys. And I actually when we used to have people in studio, I would text Ben and say, hey, Ben, Ross, Joe Schmo from Below Deck is in town. Do you want to have him?
Yeah, you guys have done interviews with people, so we want to talk just before we get into the episode. You guys do Below Deck, also other Bad TV. You do Love After Lockup.
Yeah, so we have our Below Deck podcast, which is dedicated to the 75 different spinoffs of the show. They're going to drive that thing into the ground if they don't fucking chill. But we also have a show called Bad TV, wherein we cover lots of other different stuff. So Love After Lockup is there. Rock of Love is there. We're dropping,
Summer House.
We're going to start Summer House soon. Yeah. And the Below Decks are there as well. So you can find everything there.
You know, we weren't going to do Summer House because it's been so horrible. Mm-hmm. But then we saw the trailer for the season and now we don't know what to do. We're conflicted.
We've been talking about it. I need more of a respite because Winter House.
We didn't do it.
Oh, we couldn't do it.
We didn't do it.
I fucking hate every single person. Yeah. I love
Did you do this last season of Winter House?
Yes, we did Winter House, and I love Paige so much. But I'm starting to not like Paige because she's with Greg. We don't call him Craig. We call him Greg. He doesn't deserve to have his first name said correctly. Everyone on the fucking show is just horrible.
Yeah, it's gotten to the point where. I feel like we talked about this a little bit on our last season, that the old guard of Kyle, Lindsay, Carl, they don't feel like they're actually friends with the younger people.
Right,
and that actually matters if your show is based on not like a real world where you have all these people who are just like living in a house and getting real. But these are people who are established friends.
Right.
And it doesn't work.
Well, think about Vanderpump Rules the first couple seasons. Those people actually worked at Sur and they were all banging each other. And so the chemistry is off the charts and those are the best seasons of that show. Then they start making money. Now they're on TV and then it completely changes the dynamic. That's what I think is kind of taking place with Summer House and Winter House is now these cast members. It's like, yeah, they're not letting loose. I mean, Greg gets drunk at 3 a.m. and punches at invisible pinatas, but
both invisible and very visible and real pinatas. But to Bravo, don't bring Corey back on this show.
Never.
Don't bring Corey back.
He gives everybody the ick.
I get the ick.
I watched one episode just to see. Corey is this kind of, I would consider Corey like a melted Abercrombie and Fitch model.
Yeah. 100%.
Maddie, you'll want to fuck him when you see him, but then when he talks.
Unfortunately, you're going to want to fuck him.
Yeah. No, I don't think I can. That perm.
The perm is weird, and there is this kind of illusory trick that happens where from afar it's fine, and then it begins to look more melted. And I don't want to shit on people.
Yeah, it's a Monet.
He's one of those I don't like the educated bros. The bros that they're made of muck. They exist in muck. They're just trying to get pussy at all hours. But they're all of a sudden entrepreneurs and businessmen as well. It's like, please,
like
shut
Luke
the
selling
fuck up.
Like Luke selling maple syrup. Now, what do you think? Now, Jake, before you say anything, Jake has a. What do y'all think about Luke?
I am a straight man. I would, you know, who knows what would happen if me and Luke were on a 3-day vacation together. I find him to be just a stunning human being, but he's also fucking weird and he needs to chill out on the weirdness. He weirds people out.
Let me tell you about Luke.
Before you go, I want to hear what Pat wants to say.
Sorry.
Well, I get his arc on this on Winter House. I kind of felt bad for the dude because he was basically made to look like a really creepy bastard. My wife then, because we watched the show together, she's like, oh, I used to think he was hot too, and he's a creepy bastard, and she's been turned off of it. So maybe my
and now I'll let Jake tell his thoughts.
Here is the issue. I was never attracted to him. I thought he was strange. I thought everything about him
relentlessly on our show.
I dogged him.
You called him you said something like a fossil is smarter than him. Or
I think I did say a troglodyte was smarter.
Yeah, you did.
Than he was.
And then what happened, Poodle?
Then I met him backstage at the Crappies and talked with him for like 20 minutes. And he looked at me and he saw into my soul.
Yep.
And the thing about it is, I will say this. He is slightly over-familiar because he's so Midwestern. That's where the creepy – on television, that translates to creepy. And so a lot of that is getting that through the edit. He is overly familiar with girls, which will get you the creepy edit for sure.
For sure.
And – but – he also has been told he is the best guy ever, and he's like everyone's like hometown king. And he is arrestingly attractive in person, though.
But what did you tell Luke Poodle?
I told him that if he came to LA, I would help him with his career, even though I have no ways to help him.
You can't offer empty gestures like that because you don't know they're going to come. They're going to come. The number is going to get called and you're going to be like, oh, fuck.
That's what he wants. He said, I'm a voice teacher. If you ever need voice teacher.
I put him in Leslie Kahn's class and she would completely destroy him. Yeah. And then we'd be maybe he would do like a Shakespeare play in North Hollywood. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, he just folded, y'all.
Yeah, right
just
by the Shakey's Pizza on Laurel. But there's this thing with he has just icy Aryan eyes. But he these kinds of people, reality bends differently for people that look like that, and it usually manifests in character deficiencies. But you shouldn't encourage his music because it's a sin to encourage bad art. So you have to stop.
We've sung quite a few parody songs of his.
How do you feel about? I didn't think we were going to talk about Summer House so much, but I'm intrigued. What are your thoughts on the relationship that is Carl Lindsay?
Yeah. I don't. This is a very controversial thing. I don't want to. People who are going through recovery, praying for you. Do you get better? Don't talk to me about your recovery. It's very annoying to me. the two of them together. It's just this kind of incestuous "let's get better" thing that they have, and I think it's going to end in a fucking.
I can see that.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's going to end in hell.
They're a TV couple that are destined to probably make a TV baby. There's some people that I believe, like Paige and and Craig, where they are staying together for the benefit of it's helping them book TV gigs.
100%. 100%.
Those are my least favorite. Like, you can't come up to Winter House where they're going to film you for 2 weeks and be a couple because it's so boring. I like the idea of single people going there and mixing it up. This last one, we had fun recapping it, but in reality, there was zero storylines. Like, take Carl and Lindsay, right?
Yeah.
They come up, and the whole storyline was going to be that she touched Austin's dick.
Yeah.
Right.
And he came on like a McDonald's cheeseburger wrapper or something. And in reality,
I'd watch that.
They basically go to Carl, like, how do you feel about this? And he's like, yeah, we talked about it. It's cool. And it's like, if Carl's cool with it and Austin's cool with it, then why does America care?
Why does anyone in the house, probably Amanda, who has like the opinion about everything.
Then they tucked my dick and my big fat tongue went, it was I ruined my cheeseburger, but it was so fun.
He's the worst. If you think about a real couple, who I consider the realest couple is Kyle and Amanda because they both actively hate one another.
They do.
Yeah, they do. 100%.
It's real. Their marriage is real.
That's what true love looks like.
Now, here's another thing. So you have Sierra come up on Winter House this past season. One of the hottest girls ever, right? And you have this house and she doesn't. There's no one there for her to have a love interest to. She's already banged Corey, I think, in the past and was over. It got the ick.
She banged Luke.
I'm sorry, Luke. And then now they basically, did you guys actually watch the show? I don't blame you if you did.
No, I watched one episode.
Not season two. We did the first season.
We watched last season,
Yeah, Sierra was kind of floundering and still like in like with Austin. And it makes you think,
good Lord.
You know, what kind of disease do you like? I don't understand why you are into this person, but it was just, it's 8 episodes. They come up with some stupid house game to play at like the 24 minute mark because they have to do something. So they get around and play like a Saints and Sinners.
Yeah. They send a PA down to the 99 cent store to grab some costumes.
Those fucking props. Amazon just needs to stop delivering those houses.
I think so too.
Anyway, we're still on the fence whether we're covering it. We have to watch the trailer again so we can make a decision.
Summer House is better than Winter House, but we need to move on. But they bulk order sushi that gets delivered to the house, and that's just a recipe for disaster. I just don't understand how that could happen. If there's 2-3 menu offerings, that's fine. But if, when there's all these different roles and there's like 8 people, it just gives me a fucking headache. I don't know.
This is such an LA problem, and I love it that you have a problem with it too, because I find bulk ordering of sushi to be like with a party of like 20. Yeah. Or something like that to be really problematic as well.
No, I only do those boxes from Sugarfish if I want to.
Do a box. I agree with you.
I'm with you, Maddie.
That's your box. It's your box. Yes. Right? Anyways, we have more important stuff to talk about.
We have more important shit. Let's move on. Let's talk about BD or DP or DPing BD.
DP Mediterranean.
DP Med, or we call it Below Dick. Let's just talk about this season in general. This last episode called Frazzled. Basically, we've had Camille got the axe, who was kind of the reason that the kind of trash on display we were watching, having fun with. We've been living for Rachel, of course, this season. And what do you guys think? And it was pleasantly surprising because Lee seemed to have been losing a little bit of his, even last season, Lee was losing a little bit of energy.
No, it's not facilities, Patrick. No, it's faculties.
It's faculties.
Jesus Christ.
You know what, Patrick? You're pretty, so it's fine.
You know, Pat, welcome to my life where we're just corrected and shamed.
I guarantee
you're just trying to figure it out.
Dylan, but both of you probably correct each other a lot. But I think
fairly one-sided, and I need to work on it. It's not important.
Dylan,
it's a Libra thing. The Libra man, Pat,
really bad. Like he'll say things, and I'll just rapid fire.
If we don't correct it, then the audience just thinks that's wrong, and then we can't have a laugh about it.
Thank you. Thank you. But thank you.
But the audience doesn't care. That's what.
Oh yes, they do. You're incorrect.
I'm just a Pisces who doesn't care.
Yeah.
Your education failed you. But we've got Captain Sandy coming in completely changes the dynamic for me.
Yeah.
Everyone who's listening to us and listen to our Below Deck podcast know that I'm both not a fan, and I live for every time she's on the screen because I get to imitate her and make fun of her. Right. But what do you guys think about just this season, how it ranks to other seasons? We thought last season was a complete snooze of BD original Below Deck.
You know, to be honest,
we do five different, there's five versions of this show right now, which is too much. They're going to tank this show.
Yeah.
And honestly, I have to tell you this, after a season's done, I don't remember a soul.
That's what we do with 90 Day Fiancé. Same. It's like,
Yeah, you guys probably go through this with every rendition, but I have the faintest fucking idea what happened last season of Blood. I mean, I'll go through into the storage unit here and try to pull something out.
Nah, don't worry about it.
We don't do Below Deck Adventure. Y'all are doing that too.
No one should do Below Deck Adventure. Here is the problem with Below Deck Adventure. The people go on this kind of yacht vacation for the adventure, which is not going to provide anyone any real drama. It's rappelling, it's bike riding, it's jumping off of high shit and swimming in water. You would think that, so because of that, the quality of the yacht experience is essentially a glorified houseboat. I mean, it's really, it's genuinely disgusting. You would think that there would be a little bit more to chew on. But we call it the B squad. The sea rats that work on these vessels are so incompetent that it's not even funny. It's just exhausting after a certain point. So no one watched Below Deck Adventure. It's terrible.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was fun. The chef lost her mind. I think in three separate pieces of food, including a cheeseburger, somehow she got her hair entangled in a cheeseburger.
Yeah, that was a big deal. We were going to do a crossover episode of it, and the chief's
Faye, who talks like this,
just really,
you know, as hell.
Yeah,
he talks very much like
it, and her voice kind of started grating on me. But the scariest guy was the southern guy who was basically Kyle. Could have been in the White Power Club.
So do you?
It's a tale, little lie, ruins lives.
Do you two know the story of that little white lie that
No.
Okay. All right.
So Kyle got fired the second episode.
This is amazing.
Yeah. So I watched this.
Kyle is, hurt people hurt people.
Yeah, definitely.
Kyle is a hurt person because his mom is something from, I don't want to get too heady. She's like, if there was an evil woman in a Cormac McCarthy book, that's she literally slit a horse's throat from a neighbor that she was having a dispute with. She shot a horse in the head. She went on Dr. Phil, said that none of it's true, but she wound up in prison, so it likely is true. So there's a lot of crazy fucking shit going on there.
They should have left Kyle on the boat, I think is the point, because it would have been a lot more drama. They fired him too early, and then the boat's boring, and of course you have people jumping off cliffs, and who wants to see that? That's boring.
Yeah.
It's boring. We,
I remember them saying, I really hate to lose him. Or Lewis, like, I really hate to lose him because he's a good sailor. I'm like, and he's also slightly crazy.
Yeah, I know. We were thinking the same thing. But well, with this season, Sandy is a welcome sight because I hate to alienate people, but we got to do us. We cannot stand Captain Lee. He talks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, he talks about imaginary plane tickets. He yells at people. He talks about eating ass too much. And the problem I have with it is
that's good for us. But
it's good for you guys. But you guys walk the walk. He is just fucking. He's trafficking in fraudulent, claims of ass eating, and he's doing
It's a generational thing because I forgot about it, but where I'm from in Oklahoma, my father. All the time. I forgot because I moved back for a year and it all the time. Matthew, by God, I'm going to eat his ass out. And I would always go, he would be, I couldn't say anything to him because he was so pissed. So there is a generational thing of eating ass.
I'm going
to
get at that ass.
Here's the other generational thing. And I've bitched about this because people are like, how can you hate on Lee? You know, he's the fan favorite or whatever. I'm like, well, I hate his fucking management style because he continues to do it and not change it or evolve it. And he's like had the most fired the most employees. So obviously his leadership role sucks. And I think fame kind of got to his head and he became kind of like, almost like a characterization of himself, but he only has like two characters. He eats ass and he hands out plane tickets.
Well, and he also, he really got high on his own supply with these long-winded aphorisms that he comes
one-liners.
Up with that make no fucking sense at all. And
I'll nail your pin down to a three-peckered billy goat with a hammer. Like, what the fuck are you talking about, little man?
In an insane asylum right now? What are you talking about, Lee?
He's got to be so pissed because you know that he's not going to be on the show anymore. And Captain Carey's coming on to take over.
Yeah, that's correct. Carey has been announced. I don't know if you know this about Beth Smatty. Carey has been announced as season 11.
So this is brand new news. I haven't seen that.
Yes, it's breaking news like 3 or 4 days ago.
Captain Carey's on Below Deck Adventure, right? I don't know anything much about him as a
captain. Australian. He's a bald-headed captain.
Get this. He drinks. And I think he's got the eye for some of the ladies.
Yeah.
So definitely. This could be fun. He doesn't have a stick up his ass like Lee. Like, this guy will fucking party. So I am really excited about him.
I wonder if Sandy was pissed because I feel like Sandy was vying. She wants to get
as much as she can. She wants to be the top of this. What do you guys think about Sandy and her style?
So,
Sandy. We can all learn from this. Oh, hold on. Let me turn to the page that I liked from Tony Robbins' book. Hold on.
Yeah. So Sandy watches a lot of productivity YouTube. She watches. She goes to a lot of leadership conferences. Pat deemed her many seasons ago Captain Timeshare because
what are you cooking?
The captains are supposed to be up in whatever fucking room it's called. I don't know if it's a fucking crow's nest, whatever. It's got a lot of computers.
The bridge,
Yes, the bridge. It's like we've been covering the show for 6 years.
No, same. Get it. Well,
go up there, play Fruit Ninja like Lee, and when it's time to dock, you can scream at everybody. But Sandy has a more hands-on approach.
Are you making nachos for the guests?
This season, she's gone from Captain Timeshare to Captain Most Improved. And then recently she's gone back to Captain Snap, which is this really like overexcited, like snap, like she's back into everybody's shit. And now I fear as though she is addicted to the lenses once again, and she has devolved yep. back into Captain Timeshare. Sandy needs to go back to med. We need a break from Sandy. It's too much Sandy, right? It's just too much.
I agree.
Sandy.
I'm lucky that I can, I feel like she's a gift for me because I just go off about, usually I talk about her watching television and watching and like finger banging to Law and Order and Mariska Hargitay.
Yeah.
She loves Kate and Allie. God,
and
that turns
any type of like lady television. Because when she's woken up, she always kind of wakes up. When she wakes up crossing Jordan, when she wakes up, she just kind of has, she's always like braless, kind of like just like she's a little flushed.
Yeah. Her alarm on her phone is the theme from It's a Living.
But she does.
Wow, deep cut, man.
She does have these moments where you love it's Captain Sandy.
When you
when that little bitch across the way called her and said that she needs to move the boat. I mean, it was like a 12-round bout with that guy, and she absolutely decimated him. So there's pros and cons to Sandy.
She's a good.
Quite rude if you don't move the boat tonight, you might kill some of the passengers.
Why don't you shut up and go back to your guests? I'm going to go back.
That's what we said. Actually, the most Jake has said, actually, what she's saying as a captain is pretty good advice. But what we've noticed, and maybe y'all don't know this because you're straight, you don't know the culture.
Yeah.
The big, I think that really, and I think you're right, which is set her back to kind of the old Captain Sandy, is a gay man corrected her. And you do not, as a gay man, you do not correct a lesbian who has authority over you.
Okay.
That sets
them off.
We talked about this last episode, and I said aloud, I don't know enough about the culture, but is there a war between twinks and lesbians?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, they are mortal enemies.
Why is there so much animosity?
Well, because they're not really of the same species. It has a thing where, especially younger gay men, because a lot of younger gay men like Fraser have no use for lesbians, especially older lesbians.
Right. Okay.
And so, and Sandy kind of knows that, and she's a little. But it was the point of what really gets her is Sandy's always got a chip on her shoulder, rightly so, of being a female captain. No one's going to take me seriously.
Right.
So when Fraser starts kind of just a little bit of talking back to her, that's enough to say, I'm going to push you further. And that's the thing. Every confrontation she has with him is a chance to make him roll over.
Right.
And he doesn't really do it. She's like, you're going to submit to me, and I'm going to strap it on, and I'm going to fuck you all night if I want to.
Right. Wow.
Well, and because he's in this queer community, a part of her thinks you should know better. You know, there's this idea of I'm sure she would say Fraser, and she would of course say it wrong.
Fraser.
I don't know how. You know how difficult it is, what I've had to go. Sure. Like the fact that he, even though she has no empathy for other people, she's upset that he didn't have the empathy for her and said that to her.
There was a scene in the galley, which it just passed really quickly, but you could tell she was very annoyed with Fraser. I think he told one of his, stews to do something, and she basically corrected him.
Yeah.
And said, you don't do that, I do that. And it was like the first time you heard her kind of talk out, and that now this all makes sense. There's this dynamic going on.
Yeah, this dynamic. I mean, but Fraser admittedly has been not a great chief stew.
Well, so we love Frage. Frage is not doing a great job, but he is. It's like a general being handed Normandy.
We love him too. We love him too. By the way, just
like, well, how the fuck do you want me to do this? I mean, I've got two women at each other's fucking throats.
Yes, I got both trying to bang everybody.
Yeah,
exactly. Camille and Alyssa.
Alyssa.
Yeah, and on a huge boat, on a huge fucking boat,
huge boat.
And you got Captain Sandy looking over your shoulder every time.
Right. So he's got an uphill uphill battle.
Do we know if Captain Lee actually retired or if Bravo decided it was his time?
I don't think we know. I think there
are people being on the show
who follow. People follow gossip more than us, but I think they might have opinions. But I think we're still not sure if he's going to come back to be captain or he's going to come back to visit. We're not sure about that.
I think he's coming back to visit. Maybe he'll feel good enough to do like the very like last day and bring the boat in, some symbolic thing. Like
they're gonna
let
Pappy with Sandy's hand on the thing.
She would love it. She would love it just to sit there. Let me get that.
I gotta do like, I have to be more like James Cameron, like broad appeal for the sake of our business. But to these people who are crying or getting teary-eyed or missing Lee or saying he's the reason that this show is what it is, will you please fucking take a breath, take a walk, and just calm the fuck? I mean, it's a
television show.
It's Jesus Christ, these people.
Yeah, people do get really, really upset about Captain Lee. Yeah.
I think where Captain Lee does kind of maybe get some points for himself is, at least from what we've heard, maybe y'all are way more tuned into the gossip. We are not, honestly. Yeah. But he apparently is a pretty reputable, kind person to people in the Bravoverse and helps them out. We've talked about Carl, his relationship, and apparently other people. Whereas Captain Sandy has gone on the record for saying, quote, at BravoCon, I don't want to be around normal people.
That was a big thing.
Right.
Man, if we had her on tape,
it for the fame.
Now, here's the thing. We want that. I don't want the nice guy. We're trying. What we're trying to do. But yes, no, everyone, we love Kate Chastain so much. And she's an incredible judge of character. And she constantly tells us that
Lee.
She loves Captain Lee. So there's no doubt that he's a good guy.
Have her on the show ever?
Anytime.
Yeah, we've had her. We've talked
to her. I'm the biggest fucking super fan. And
oh God!
I've watched, she was so good on The Traitors, because she was just her. Okay, I won't talk about Kate Chastain, but
is he so verklempt right now?
He won't get off her dick. He will not get off Kate Chastain's dick.
Just because I've watched her, just when you watch, Kate Chastain is the standard of what a Chiefs do should be.
100%.
Yeah. And even though she can have, you can see her, the best thing about Kate Chastain, which a lot of Chiefs dudes don't understand, is you can have a professional reaction without going overwhelmingly nice.
Yes.
And you don't, and also you can have, as soon as you walk away from the guests, you can say, oh my God, I hate their fucking guts. That's fine.
Right.
As long as you can put on a convincing face, like, yeah, we're going to have we have a really great meal for you, blah, blah, blah. You're going to do that. And you walk away and you go, oh my God, did you see that fucking bitch's face? You can do that.
Yeah.
And a lot of the other Chief Stews don't realize you don't have to be Polly Prissy Pants all the time.
Yeah. She's a tough bitch. And when we were doing the early seasons, when we first had Kate on, Pat had referred to her as a cold-hearted bitch numerous times, like that.
So she walks into the interview room and said, which one of you idiots called me a bitch?
And that was it. it was kind of love after that. You know, we smoked cigs together and I said, it's him. And she went up to him and, you know, gave him the business. Then we podcasted. So
we love
him very much.
What you see is what you get. There's not a better compliment I can give to someone, especially in reality TV. I miss her desperately. If you are having Kate Chastain withdrawal, I highly recommend The Traitors on Peacock.
Yeah.
You know, I watched the first episode only because we watch 90 shows a week to do podcasts. That one's definitely in my queue, but I haven't gotten to it yet, but I will.
Same. She gets even better. She is killing it. At one point, Rachel Riley from Big Brother, she's like, oh, I fucking hate Rachel. I want her gone just because I hate her. And then she said she dresses like she gets dressed in a community theater every morning. She's so good.
He goes to Pat because he's been needing to finish Severance for a year now.
It's so good.
Pat, I think we're the same person.
because
and I don't Dylan, know how Jake watched, like, he'll, it'll be like, he's upset I haven't seen White Lotus season 2 yet.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, when have we had time? We've been
I'm saying this. You need to see White Lotus season 2 for cultural relevance. You are just, sorry.
You're flying blind if you haven't seen White Lotus season 2.
Thank you.
One was so not good. I was like, whatever.
Season two is better, and I disagree that one wasn't good.
Whatever. But, shits in a suitcase, and then him and his boyfriend kill each other. By the way, I just combined shows.
Spoiler alert.
By the way, Dylan pointed this out to me. I had no idea. So that amazing episode of The Last of Us, episode 3.
T-Lou!
That is the hotel.
Yes, Murray Bartlett.
I had no clue. Now, that's a fucking actor right there.
Yeah, he's
fantastic. Oh, yeah. He can do anything. Actor. And Nick Offerman, who can
okay,
also
so did y'all, Jake and I, we were on it now, but we were a little blinded, we have to say. Maybe it was the editing. We didn't necessarily love Alyssa, but we did not realize Alyssa was kind of at the core of all this dysfunction. Did y'all know from the get-go, or were you blinded by the shiny thing that was Camille?
I knew from the get-go, and fans have written in that it is my bigotry, but it really has nothing to do with that. It's that she is a goddamn demon. And
she's a monster.
She's young, so she'll hopefully grow up. But Camille is aloof and lazy and will give it back to you. Alyssa has a Napoleonic scary thing going on.
This past episode, she called three of the female employees on that boat a smelly bitch or something to that effect.
Yeah, like, that was really terrible.
Including Haley, who is so sweet.
Wonderful. Yeah. It's interesting. The people who were defending Alyssa at the beginning who were saying the problem is the people who were saying that it can only be one person who's the problem. It's either Camille's the problem or Alyssa's the problem. And I said, no, y'all, both of them are a big part of the problem here. Yeah. Each of them are the one that the other cannot handle. And I think Alyssa might have flown under the radar further had Camille not shown up to give her her kryptonite. Alyssa.
No, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say Alyssa just – she has way too much baggage from childhood when she's like, yeah, she reminds, when you hear the phrase, yeah, she really reminds me of my dad.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah. We had Alyssa on and she, you know, she played
Shut
nice.
Up.
Oh yeah. And,
yeah, she played,
you
nice
know, of course and... there's the PR person from Bravo off to the side. So, you know, you can't get too into it with her, but she basically put on nice. And,
there's also this thing that there's just this kind of like dormant evil that can come up. Like not adhering to girl code is a weird thing. Not most, there's a good majority of women who would not do to Katie what Alyssa is doing to Katie. We can all say that Ross is a sex addict. He sees Katie as a whole and nothing more. But there is this kind of, for whatever it's worth, they're doing a thing. Alyssa does not give a fuck about it, clearly. But yeah, there. Fraser isn't doing a great job with it either. But
well, Dylan, what do you always say that this show and the fun of it is watching it?
Well, it's subjecting the wealthy to incompetence.
Exactly. Yeah.
That should be the subtitle for the series.
That is the subtitle for the series. That is the subtitle for the series.
That's really good.
I love
sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with her ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long, but yes, they are so soft, and the more you wash them, the softer they get, and they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the #1 custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation, or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song, To All Our Queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners, we know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you, so no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed, have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
That's my train of thought.
It's a fun season. I will say with Below Deck, we're kind of getting burnt out on it. I feel for you guys. I know you guys do a lot of 90 day, like just all the different versions. It never ends now, which it turns out that that's what life after lockup is becoming. It's like it never ends. Like life after lockup, guys, you're not General fucking Hospital, okay? Michael is not, what is his name? Luke, who's the main guy?
Luke and Laura.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, wow. Justin and Michael are not Luke and Laura.
Everyone over 50.
Oh, I'm so
really
sorry. I've got to get a call. I'm so sorry. Hey, is this, hey, Pinky. Pinky,
hey,
yeah, what's
hey,
going on?
It's I'm Hottie's girl.
Oh, I'm sorry, Pinky. Let me get this. Let me get this.
We can I just
the joke
say,
never gets old ever.
He did that on Mary Payne's show, and she's like, oh, take your call.
And no, it was actually Aaron on Pink Shade.
Oh, okay. But
yeah, Aaron
take your
thought
call.
It was a real call.
And I was just like, but every time she did it, Ty was one of the most entertaining people on television. I still will walk around my house just going, I'm Hottie's girl. And going, ooh.
I will say though, so here's a difference.
This
of,
is Love After Lockup we're talking about.
Love After
Lockup,
which you
we
know.
We segued.
The same producer of 90 Day Fiancé, Matt Sharp.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
It's the same production.
The Matt
company.
Sharp joint.
Matt Sharp. Yeah. And the thing with Matt Sharp that it's very different, like, I'm a little jealous, but also a little grateful that, like, we don't get any of these people on these shows because Sharp Productions and TLC or WeTube, they won't let any of them on shows.
Right.
So sure, it's like they yeah. don't want them to become reality. We only got Darcy and Stacey. Because Darcy and Stacey were like, we can do whatever the fuck we want to do, and we love you guys.
They need to keep this Stockholm syndrome-y thing that they have going, and they need to make sure that, you know, they're confined. But Matt Sharp seems to be like, you know, like truffle hunting dogs. They he can find damaged people that are like
he really can.
hundreds of feet under the ground. I mean, it's truly
hundreds.
Incredible.
But the thing is, though, like were you. It's very interesting how they don't want these people to come reality stars, yet I'm with you. Some of these spinoffs are fine and great, like Love in Paradise, The Single Life, 90 Day, or actually some of the best iterations of the show. But
sure.
It's also
they're,
like
– And there are shorter seasons too. That's the – we think that's the thing, 10 to 13 episodes.
Aren't we – like it just feels a little bit like – it feels a little too much. Now they're doing another 90 day version of, we don't know exactly know what it is, but they're all like on an island somewhere.
They're in Florida.
Where the rumors, it's going to be like couples therapy. We don't know.
Yeah.
Well, here's, you guys have been covering the same shows as us for a long time. So here's the best version of Love After Lockup is when original people come on. I know that wasn't necessarily the case with this past season. Cause we, of course we had, was it Gabby and God, I forget their name so quick.
Chris. Gabby and Chris.
And Justine and Michael, of course, because that was before lockup or whatever. But most of the time when they cover these people for what, 2 or 3 weeks, they film them. That is the best version because you get
the best version.
Same with 90 Day, the version that you guys are watching now the other way.
One it's season and done.
Fantastic. So when they start making these people play out acting like scenes, it's like, I can't
it's
watch
they're it. Making them reality stars, but they don't want them to be reality stars. And these people, often a lot of these people, there's very few, but again, maybe the truffle dogs can find real people, but they don't find good reality stars.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, do you think Nathan of Nathan and Skylar fame would do like a Radio Row very well? Like,
I don't think he'd wake up.
I don't think
he terrifies me.
Oh yeah, he's I listen, Skylar has had some problems in the past.
Well, two of her ex-boyfriends are dead.
Yeah.
So understatement of the year.
She said Black Widow.
Yeah, exactly. But Nathan is bad for her. Get away from her.
Powder
keg. Go street swims and go, you know, be successful in life. But yeah, no, it's a tough show.
We were, the other thing about this season is we've had a really good time with Ashley and Travis.
My favorite. Yeah.
Who Michelle from Blind Date Fiancé called Ashley, we called her Kathy from the comic strip. Who said, "Ack!"
Our hair is just its own creature.
It's like four wigs in one, her hair.
Right. Jake said she's on prescription drugs or something, right? She has her prescription.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's a drunk.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that is real to me. What they're filming there, sure, they say, hey, we're going to, you know, they have to set up the cameras to film at his mother's house and all that. But are they destitute? Are they living in a car or a motels from paycheck to paycheck? Absolutely.
Yeah, well, it's this weird thing because I feel the same way about Skylar as I do for Travis. Travis, he's had a problematic past. He's been a treasure hunter. He's been a crack addict. He's been a bank robber. And he's been a highway robber.
Yeah.
But I really feel as though he could get his shit back on track, but he's with this woman who has these brain chemical dumps at all these random times, and they're just – also, he has a mom that wants to fuck him. So I don't know that
– Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think – we're praying for everyone on the show.
Come, you need to sit next to mommy. Going to be right here with mommy. Can I put my hand on your leg?
You ain't never going to break this bond, Ashley. Oh, my God. What the fuck is wrong with
I still you? Say there are very few moments that will stand out of this season than the mom taking the ring off her finger and putting it on hers.
Yep. That was crazy.
Yep. Yep.
Looks good. Looks so good on me.
How about this? I just thought if I like you and I'll give it back.
Yeah. Now, do you guys like Justine and Michael? Because we absolutely
we can't stand
loathe
them.
You know, I liked them before. We liked them a lot in the last season. And we think a lot of, our term is fraudacity. Our term is, we think a lot of it's made up season.
It's all cooked.
We don't think they're having problems. I mean, we do like them. We did not like her first season at all. We were like, she seems spoiled.
And she didn't know how much a car costs and
But I do still like, and yes, we do think Michael's hot. We do think he's a talented rapper. The thing, though, but what the fraudacity part is no one knows how they're paying for anything. And we're just assuming it's he's like Scrooge McDuck swimming in his vat of drug money somewhere like fucking suburban Ohio that none of us fucking know about.
Yeah.
And that's, and I hate this word because it's a generalization. And it's the perfect word for this. That's problematic to me.
Yeah. If everything, when all your checks come from the Cayman Islands, there's a problem.
Yeah.
Well, I think actually the explanation might be a little simpler. I think Justine's pretty savvy. And I think they cut a deal with and they knew that, you know, they were going to be on new versions of this show. And her quitting her job, despite them having 8 children, was because they think it's going to be a big payday from Wii.
Yeah. Apparently,
spoiler alert, it won't be.
We only know this a little bit from what Michael said, just that he's like Jujubee, that's what he calls her, really handles a lot of the social media. So we inferred that this is her making.
Yes.
She's 100%. Making this empire for them.
Empire. By the way, I'm not sure if you guys knew this, his sneaker empire, the next Kanye, he is not. You can go to any building, like there's a bunch of sneaker companies where you can design your own shoes and then pay $40 for them and then sell them to idiots for $900.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, people do it that's how it's time. Done. I didn't know. I was like, do they have factories I had no idea.
It's all outsourced. Yeah.
I mean, did we see that studio that he showed up to rectify his hip hop career? It looks like a set from The Last of Us.
Now, listen, you guys mentioned it. Mills has bars, but Mills bars can't be the only thing that's going to take care of 8 children.
It's insane. it's a little
the stupidity of these decisions make me, I'm confused and angry, and it happens a lot. I just bored people. Just take birth control. Stop having so many fucking kids.
Did you see this last episode? I know it was last night. I'm not sure.
Yeah. We saw it.
So they meet with Justine's mother, and you think that she'd be so happy to hear the news, and she's fucking pissed.
No,
and
then she talks like this. She's over the whole thing.
Yeah.
She asked Michael, how are you going to pay for all these kids? And his answer was,
it's in God's hands.
Yeah. No, it's not. Yeah. I think it's in the hands of a Swiss bank account.
I don't think
he would be so easy with money if there wasn't something
I think what's happening to y'all, why you're not necessarily loving them as much too, is they're breaking the Lalu formula, where this show, the reason why people are so great on this show is because either they are completely oblivious that they're on a reality show, or they're like Ty from Ty and Hottie. They can't, as my grandma would say, they can't help but show their ass. And so it makes them, like, she can't help but just tear up her own house when she's upset. Like, she can't help, say this stupid shit. But you can tell with Michael and Justine Jujubee, you can tell they get it. They get the thing, they get the formula, and they're trying to fit into that. And that is not love after love. We want, as we called her, we want black and white cookie with black and white hair loving Dalton and like
Dalton
and buying her trailer house. And then we meet Dalton's mom and dad, who's a robot who talks like this. Like, that's what we need. Like, that's what this show is.
Those were the salad days of this show. 100%. And like,
how about Scott, God rest his soul? I loved when I forget who Scott's girlfriend was.
Is Scott dead?
Scott's dead.
Scott from an earlier season.
From season one of Love After Lock.
Yes.
We haven't seen
it. We never went that far back.
We joined in episode... I'm sorry, go ahead, Poodle.
We joined in season three, I think.
We started season three, and we just did a collab this week with DocuSweeties, and Wahima had started with Love After Lockup like at the beginning, and she's like, you don't know Love After Lockup. Have y'all started from the first season?
First season. Loved it.
Was it Scott and Lizzie? Scott and Lizzie. Yeah.
Yep. Where she spent $800 at a convenience store on candy bars.
Just a quick question. What is that massive glass of red liquid you're drinking on it?
This is actually Pedialyte.
Jake has to bottom later, so he's just storing his nerves.
This is I'm getting over from my stomach bug. And so I
got it. Okay.
Dehydrated. It does look like it's like high C. Mom, where's the fruit punch? Purple stuff.
I was like, that is a lot of fruit punch. What is he drinking?
Well, it's what happens when you invite the whole football team over instead of just the defensive line.
It was a good night.
Yeah, it falls out.
Can we talk a little 90 Day? You guys have been doing 90 Day for like 5 years.
Something like that. About like four years. Yeah,
4 years.
Okay, so as we all agreed on, like, the best version of 90 Day is the first couples meeting each other. The first time you meet them, it's not three. Barbara and Michael. If I see Barbara, is it not Barbara? I'm sorry. Who's the large woman who got all the cosmetics?
Angela.
Angela and Michael.
You and the goofballs, Michael. You don't have a storyline anymore.
No, they don't. It's completely a cult of personality for them. Most people really don't want Angela on the show, but I think there is a level of cringe that some viewers have that crave her. I think other thing is, she is always willing to film. Her producers are kind of seasoned, and they know how to make. And she's always going to make.
They want memeable social media content. That's why, you know, think about this. At least, I don't know if it's true anymore, but at one time, the most popular 90 Day Fiancé star on Cameo was Big Ed.
Can you 100%.
Imagine? And he loved it, by the way. No one's loved their notoriety more than Big Ed.
That piece of shit. Boy.
He sends us fucking stickers whenever he was going to be on the first season.
One of, I will say, really a not just disgusting human being, but probably one of the thirstiest people on the planet.
100%.
What's going on? Because we watched it for a little bit and then we bowed out. I found it to be a riveting television program, but there's so many hours in the day.
It's so long. Yeah.
What is what's going on with Jenny and Sumit?
They're great. They got married.
Oh, they finally did.
Oh, I can't wait. Finally married, and your dad thinks Max.
We just do her as a chicken.
Mother still hates me, Samantha.
Now,
the waddle is there. I mean,
the waddle is there. It is
there.
Like, once kind of a chicken turkey hybrid.
Yeah.
Right. And woman.
Once you say chicken Jenny, it just, it's always going to fit. It works. Yeah. But they're married. And I mean, but the mother
is threatening to die every time.
Yes. Like physically ill because they are married.
For the last 6 years, these people have eked out 6 seasons of this show with the same storyline.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, will his mother and father finally condone them getting married? Oh my God.
Oh, we're still on. That's the problem with
it's amazing. I'm still compelled.
That's the problem with Happily Ever After is because
Happily Ever After is drudgery.
There's like Libby and Andre. We thought Libby was going to become like try to be a YouTube child, like singer of children's songs, singing Mary Had a Little Lamb.
No.
But then she got pregnant and that
was
got
abandoned.
Put to the way. So then it's just her and her family fighting with Andre again. Like it's just all the complete. If the next time they do Happily Ever After, they need to just wipe the cast and have all people we haven't seen in a couple of years of Happily Ever After.
How about that Amish girl that came like season two and or not Amish? He was Amish, and she was in South America. She comes out here and she looks like a model, and then we never followed that storyline again. Like I'd be fascinated what they're up to.
Oh, I know who are you talking about? Amish.
Who was Amish?
I thought he was Amish. Because the way he met her is he was on a mission in South America.
That was Alan and Kiril Young.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That was nice. Season one.
That was season one. And let me tell you about that. That has a dark side, Pat.
What?
Because he met her on a mission in South America and told when she was a little younger and told his parents to save him. Save her for him.
So yeah, they met apparently when she was like 15.
Really?
So yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
It's a lot darker than it seems.
Yeah, it's like
But now they have two children and they're happy. Yay!
They're fine. Yay.
All right. Can we talk about actually so Big Ed was thirsty. How about I forget he was a rapper. That and he had gone to Serbia. I think his band was called Serbia.
Jabri. Miona. Black okay. Serbs.
We called them gibberish.
Gibberish.
They were thirsty.
They were thirsty to a degree that even the show couldn't sustain.
Yeah,
it was interesting. Beyond. Like they flew too close to the sun on wings of Instagram filters. It was to the point of. The audience hated them, objectively hated them.
Yeah.
Really?
They won't be back. I don't think they'll be back.
They'll never be back because they went. She was accused of blackfishing as well because she was a Serbian girl and basically going further than Kim Kardashian ever dared.
I've never heard of that term. So it's called
blackfishing.
We learned about it in that season. I never heard of it.
Tried to where people who are not black. Basically are appropriating black hairstyles.
Like Rachel Adi, what's her name?
Rachel Dolezal.
Rachel Divide, yeah.
Rachel. Okay, so it's not Get Out, it's Rachel Dolezal.
Yes, it is okay, looking to appear that you are black to get some type of cultural cachet from it.
Got it. Okay, cool.
Yeah, and she, like the complete facial tone, if you look at earlier pictures, she's just a Serbian girl. And they would say, they're like, people, Serbians can be dark. And look at her younger pictures.
Yeah. And she was, you know, she got a good edit on the show.
Yeah.
Yes.
But on social media, she was reprehensible. She was really
horrible
and troll.
Yeah.
And we found out later that their, quote, wedding, they'd actually already been married for a year, and that was literally just their Instagram picture wedding that we saw on 90 Day Fiancé.
It was like that just fake.
It was the most fraud we've ever had. And you know, we originally started 90 Day when we started it years ago. That's why we don't do Housewives. And because Ronnie and Ben, we're really good friends with. I knew Ronnie from Improv
Watch
years
What Crap
ago.
Happens. Yeah.
So we're good friends with them as well. And we're like, they already do it, and so we don't want to touch that.
And the market is pretty saturated too.
And
so.
But we picked 90 Day Fiancé because at the time it was one of the most quote realistic reality shows out there, and you feel that with these new seasons with new people. Like, what is happening now is like...
This is Toe, this season
of
Toe.
This woman who is like, wears onesies in Alabama and is traveling to South America, and she has narcolepsy and just falls asleep. Like, it's just, you can't make this shit up.
Narcolepsy is a very inconvenient disease.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Extremely inconvenient. Are you guys familiar with Umami Burger?
Yes, of course.
This is what's happening with 90 Day Fiancé. You know, they're starting to pop up these umami burgers all over the place.
They're scaling.
And before you know, you've scaled
saturated
too
the market.
Big, and you can't make you can't make the aioli the same way that you used to.
Yeah, the Parmesan crisp is not the same.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now I've watched just the first two episodes of the newest version of 90 Day. What do you got? What's the other
way?
Okay. I love
Toe.
The cat. It's fantastic.
It's fantastic. It's my favorite. It's my favorite because they put Americans into these weird, and we're the biggest pussies in the world when it comes to going other places.
Yeah.
Where is the woman who shows up to like a Muslim country and she's pissed when she finally gets there that she doesn't want to wear like the hijab?
That was Brittany, I think, right?
Oh, well, that was Brittany in a previous season. But this is Nicole, who we says is the first AI 90 Day Fiancé.
Yes.
They're infiltrating reality television too.
She's almost indecipherable from a real person.
Well, apparently we just saw a trailer or a thing on their 90 Day Instagram. Apparently she's actually already converted to Muslim.
Islam. You just pulled a Kim.
I try not. We made fun of her. Now I do it.
Forgive me, Dylan. I have to talk to the experts here just because I don't know all the names. Dylan hasn't followed 90 Day as much as me. Speaking of Nicole, the blonde haired girl from Florida in which she was in love with Azan. Is that the
name? Nicole.
They did three seasons in which her family was bankrolling his quote unquote jewelry business.
Beauty shop. Beauty shop / health store.
Nicole's
makeup store.
I know Pink Shade for a while on their Patreon had a tier. Their $2 tier was called Nicole's Makeup Store. And they said, basically, you give us $2 and you get nothing.
Because that's what the makeup store had in it. It wasn't a real place.
Isn't it fascinating? All these people that were on a series for 3 years and then they just disappear.
Nicole is still around, but she rarely posts anymore. We were practically begging her to be on The Single Life because she is utterly fascinating because there is no personality there, but she's also quite arrogant.
Yeah, that's great.
And physically abusive. Remember she was beating him?
Like, yeah. We always say she uses her size against him, and she would always go, I'm going to beat you up if you don't kiss me and be my boyfriend.
Basically.
It's like your girl elementary school bully.
Basically,
But yeah, and, you know, she's a classic.
On this season two, they have Danielle and Johan who are on. If y'all don't have time, but one of the spinoffs, probably one of my favorite, is Love in Paradise. It was on Discovery Plus and then TLC, but she was originally on season two of that. And that's a great season because
people going on bang trips in the Caribbean.
And Americans.
Like 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like there was one storyline of a gay man from New York going down to.
He was from LA, by the way. You say he was from New York.
Well, he lived in New York, though, at the time. He's from LA, but he was living in New York City.
I don't know about that.
Okay. Because he was like, it was weird because I think he's back in LA now. Anyway, doesn't matter. He's an American.
So I think he was from New York and living in LA. I think it's the other way around.
But so he comes down to.
I've only been married.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So no one cares. So, but he goes down. Are they in Colombia, right?
Colombia.
Yes. And the whole plot line of these two men's storyline is that they're both tops. And literally the episode's called The Trouble with Two Tops. And they're who's gonna bottom? And there's this lengthy explanation.
Do you just play odds and evens? Like, how does that work?
Rock, paper, scissors.
I think what happened was Valentine wanted to do, yes, that was his name. Valentine wanted to open up the relationship pretty early.
Like the first day.
Yeah. And Carlos was not okay with this because I guess one just assumed the other would turn over one day and say, let's do it.
Can't you just plead stomach flu and then it's off the table?
No, not for some guys. There's some nasty ass people out there, Pat.
Yeah. Some will just go there. But I think that was pretty much done through kind of Instagram thirst as well, that relationship. Yeah. Danielle and Johan are something because this is a woman who basically doesn't want to live in the US anymore because her rent's too high in New York City.
And we found out this is breaking, but we found out news that she actually has a bankruptcy in 2022. So she just wants to get out of the country so she doesn't have to pay her shit.
And this is on the new season of Toe, correct?
Yeah, this is on Toe.
She is
reviled pretty much.
The way she framed it, yeah, as you were saying, she's sick in New York City. So she's like, I have a love hate with New York City. It's kind of gross, but this is where all my favorite coffee shops are.
And my skincare places. She's disgusting.
She's fucking broke, and she needs to get out of the U.S.
And Johan just joined the kind of an OnlyFans copy where he's showing his humongous dong.
Yeah. How big is it?
He said 9 inches. It was a big nine-inch dong. Of course, Maddie went and bought.
Well, I put it on the business card. It's a tax write-off.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's smart business, but 9 inches is just.
You can kind of see.
Oh my God!
We won't show this because it's his work.
Yeah, pull it back. I can't see.
Oh Lord, Jesus! Yeah, it looks like Godzilla's dick.
Yeah, it's like a goddamn.
It's a big dong.
That's soft. We won't show this on the video because you know that sex work is work, and we're going to let them have that.
We're going to let him have his money.
Get his money because
there's a lot of cuckoo. There's Jen and Rishi, the woman who's in Texas, Oklahoma, who's with the Indian man,
right?
And she
spends 2 hours washing his hair,
and his family doesn't really know anything about her. She's just a friend.
who is the girl who she's been married twice, has a couple kids, and now she's a lesbian and she lives at her mother's house.
That is Chris and Jamie, the one who has narcolepsy.
And then it's the first time, which these are kind of so far the fan favorites are Gabe and Isabel,
who's a trans
Gabe
man.
Is the first. Yeah, trans man we've ever had on 90 Day Fiancé. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw that.
This is a really good season. I would say if anybody's not, if you ducked out after because you were tired of Happily Ever After, come back to the fold because Happily Ever After is riveting in a good way.
I totally agree.
There's also a woman who we're going to see the week after the Super Bowl who's like in her 70s and she falls off a donkey.
The falls get more cataclysmic for the elderly the older you get.
It really looks dangerous. It happened and it was one of the things where you're not sure if it hurt.
Okay, we're gonna wrap a minute, but thank you all again for being on. But before we don't cover Rock of Love, you do. What are we missing by not watching Rock of Love?
You're not missing anything. I mean, 90 Day Fiancé is sad enough. Love After Lockup is sad enough. But if you want to unearth a time chamber or
from 2007,
time capsule of 2007, wherein this guy that looks like a lizard is just subjecting women to the horrors of his libido. And he has a guy named Big John there who is aiding him in that.
So Rock of Love is a VH1 series from 2007. They actually did four seasons of it where a bunch of rock thirsty girls show up to live at Bret Michaels, the lead singer of Poison.
You say rock thirsty girls, but they're too young to really know who he is.
Who he is, that's yeah. True.
So it's just,
but their moms liked him. That's probably it.
100%. Their moms liked him.
Which he's fine with.
So we want to talk about the heyday of reality TV. That's why I love 90 Day or the versions that we've talked about it. It's like they recapture that magic of what was happening in the early 2000s when everything was on the table as far as reality TV. I mean, we had a show called The Swan in which you
That was the crazy. That was like that was Joe Millionaire. Like The Swan. The Swan was the biggest, was the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life.
That was around when we had the gay version of, you probably don't remember this show, but if you ever want to see something, I feel like Dylan would be completely horrified, but also love it. Yeah. Did you ever watch the show? It was on Logo called Boy Meets Boy.
I think I look, that's from, oh wow, we're talking about old
it's
shows.
From 2003.
I remember the billboard for it on Sunset Boulevard.
A gay guy trying to find love with his best queer dear. But with the catch was there were some gay guys and some straight guys, and if he picked the straight guy, they would get money.
Really?
It's guys, literally just straight guys gay baiting, just this guy and acting gay. And the moment when she finds out that some of the guys are straight, his best friend, it literally is like
she loses her fucking mind.
What? It is one of the best moments of reality TV. She completely makes it all about her, even though he's the one that's been fucking flirting with straight guys. It's so good.
Do you guys remember the real L word? Like, how crazy was that?
That was kind of hard to watch. Because that was just lesbians getting drunk and fighting, which
and
is
fucking.
Every night, really, for parts of West Hollywood.
That sounds really, really fun. But it's not too dissimilar to Rock of Love, because Rock of Love has this thing where, like, you realize how valuable having no security on set is to a television show. So they'll just let them fucking fight, you know?
It's awesome.
And like also, Bad Girls Club used to be.
Yes.
Like Bad Girls Club used
to be.
On
the Oxygen Network.
This was a little bit, I think it was a precursor to Bad Girls Club.
I'm telling you, if you want to see cringe, you really should dig into MILF Manor. Jake can't watch it, but it really does have that vibe of like The Swan. No, it's like, it's so gross. And I've heard
that incest.
Apparently there are casting, because it's gotten so much buzz, they're now apparently creating a DILF Manor.
Look, I'm happy. I thought they'd never touch that, because I always say if the roles were reversed, people would be.
No, I think they're touching it.
Don't.
Here's my issue. That show could have been amazing. All the women are beautiful. Of course, their sons are handsome too. Why not introduce their sons? That's kind of a fun little angle. And then have 35-year-old guys come on the show and just live at the MILF Manor with them so we can really see it. That would be much more fun. I watched the first three episodes. I'm like, all right, I don't think anybody's going to fuck anybody. I'm out of here. But I could be wrong.
Well, I don't know. I will let you know. Because I'm invested, and now we do a MILF Manor Minute during Extreme Sisters. Because why not?
I don't allow that filth on the regular podcast.
Well, what's going on with the Bachelor, Maddie? Are you absolutely out? You're not.
No, sure. I'm going to jump in and catch in, because I actually have to talk about it next week on another podcast. But it's just, we got inundated with like Darcy and Stacey, bam, 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 all these shows. So that's what I'm going to work on. I'm going to try to get caught up before, this week.
Do you have a speed player on Chrome so you can watch it at 2x speed?
I do. I can watch it on 2x
just
speed.
Up Zach every time he talks.
I wanted it to be Avon. I don't know. I don't like this guy. I loved Avon.
No, he's a shortbread cookie that has anthropomorphized and is now like kind of being kind of a piece of shit. Yeah. Actually, it's pretty cool.
Are there any notable women to refer to?
Yeah, one of the Mandrell daughters.
Yeah, there's a
shut up. Okay, well,
he's a big fan of Barbara Mandrell.
Ooh, I was country when country was it. Which Barbara Mandrell? Louise? Is it Louise, Barbara, or the sister everybody forgets? What's her name?
I think it's Barbara. I think it's Barbara Mandrell.
Shut up!
Oh, no. Here we go.
I might be wrong, and Maddie, I might be wrong, and sorry if I'm letting you down, but let me tell you something.
Is it Erlene's? It's Barbara. Okay.
Take a breath.
What a little monster she's made.
Oh, yes. No, yes. It's got to be Barbara's daughter then, because Louise and Erlene, I think, were less famous. But I know Barbara Mandrell is part of a monster. But I loved it. I used to walk around in my cousin's Barbara Mandrell boots when I was a kid.
You check it out, because the sister insists on having her Chiron say Christina Mandrell. It's the surname is in there every single time. She has a child. And when she tells the bachelor she has a child, he says, yeah.
Yeah. And he jumped on the next show.
And there's also lots of women who come to him. We call them love bluffs. They're trying to come to him for admiration.
I'm thinking of leaving.
I need help.
They've always done that. It's so awful.
Get out of here, because I'm not wrapping my arm around you. I've got plenty. I've been making out with everybody. We haven't made out at all. So please leave the show.
Oh my God. It's Erlene. She's Erlene's daughter. Erlene was the least famous. This is shocking to me.
We're going to have to leave this here.
God. Okay.
Hopefully, I'm going to wish everyone healing, like Sean Robinson says.
We're not going to
resolve
you
this today.
You just made me so excited for the rest of my weekend, because I'm binging
this. I'm going to say this now. We have to record a show after this. I'm not looking forward to him talking about Barbara Mandrell. But thank you both. Thank you.
Where can people find y'all? Where can they find you?
Yeah.
Check out Bad TV. That's the new show. All the Below Decks are there. The Rock of Love is there. The Love After Lockup is there. So go to Bad TV, a reality television recap podcast program, I think is the full title. And then if you want to join us on Patreon as well.
Another
podcast network.com.
Yeah.
Yep.
This was great. This has been so much fun.
We're going to do this again live.
We're going to do this again.
Together. Yeah. We'll have to let you know when one of us
I want to play your video games behind you.
Yeah.
And maybe one of you can come up behind me and hold me.
It'll be like Ghost, but we'll be playing like a Sega Genesis game or something.
Yeah,
That's even hotter.
I'm kind of into that.
All right. So next time we do this, all four of us are going to be together in studio. We'll do it live.
Yeah, I love it. Maybe we'll be drinking and your inhibitions will be lower. All right.
Hey, Pack gets really drunk, so, you know, I think it can happen. Thank you guys so much for having us.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Yeah, my back is really smooth.
Okay, we've got to go. Thank you. Thank you, Dylan and Patrick. Y'all, go check them out.
Bye.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.